Greetings in the light of the Most Radiant One. I am Commander Lady Athena, and you are listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening I'd like to look at a topic that really affects our mastery. As I've spoken many times, this Earth, this EU, Earth University, is a school of mastery. This show is for those of you who are the Christed emissaries of light, who have come to Earth to serve Earth from a myriad of worlds and dimensional planes. And so I'm going to speak about the excellence and the impeccability in which we need to call ourselves forward into if we're going to manifest the best that we can in this time slot that we have of an embodiment. First of all, to whom do you give your first and your best? Good question, isn't it? We all serve something. And unfortunately, we have become a very self-serving society. And yet, most of us nurture within our hearts the sense of a global community. A global community is going to require a putting aside of ourselves and a prioritizing of others in the sense of extending the best that we can possibly extend into our life, into our realm of influence, and into our society as a whole. As we do that, we will find that the world itself transforms. But what transforms, really? But our own perception of self and our own essence. We can't do anything about the world until the inner self has been transformed. And so it's this transformative process that I want to look at tonight in terms of our way of going about our daily life. The, it's interesting. I've often spoken about the fact that I spent a lot of time in India. And one of the things that struck me in India when I have gone is that people in India really prioritize their relationship to spirit first. It's the first thing in the morning they will head for their puja room, which is their, like their shrine room where they do their morning prayers. In the middle of the day, they'll head there again. And at night, they'll head there again. Their whole day is wrapped around putting God first. And it was so sweet when I would be invited to eat in the different homes. They would always take a little portion of the food off their plate or their banana leaf, whatever they were eating off of, and put it to the side along with a little bit of water. And I wondered why they did it, because it was kind of messy, especially if you're in a restaurant or something. And yet, invariably, they would take a little portion of food and a little portion of water and set it aside. Finally, I had the nerve to ask what they were doing. And they said, well, that belongs to the Lord. That's for Bhagavan. You know, you always offer to God first, whatever it is that you offer. I noticed in some of the indigenous tribes also, they will take a drink of whatever it is they're drinking and they will spit it out, often to the four directions, which is, again, an offering to God. Or they will take and pour a drink offering on the ground. Or they will create a fire pit, and they will put into that fire pit their offering. In India, the first food is always placed at the altar for God. And it's a beautiful custom that we could learn here in the West a lot from our brothers and sisters in India and other lands. In fact, most indigenous peoples and most third world peoples that I've been associated with observe these practices in some form or another. And it's this sense of putting your attention where you want to go, where you want to create relationship, where you want to produce harvest, is absolutely the principle that we want to look at tonight. So let's begin by looking at how you start your day. Because how you start your day sets a vibrational tone that will carry through the rest of the day. I think you've all noticed that by now. That whatever you if you start out on the wrong foot, usually the day will tend to go in that same patterning. It doesn't have to, but because we're not taking charge and mastery and dominion in many cases over our lives, we tend to let our lives pull us along. And you must have noticed that the vibration of the third density, the material world, vibrates at a very low level. ask anyone who's had a near-death experience and return to their physical bodies, they will say it's like going into wet cement. It is so yucky to come back into this low and slow and sluggish vibration. So to begin with, to exercise our mastery, we always have to, in a sense, excite the elements around us, agitate and activate and quicken and stir ourselves up so that we don't get bogged down and sluggish. That old tendency of inertia is very, very strong in the lower densities of the lower planes. You'll find that when you soul travel or you move your inner awareness to the higher dimensional vibrations, that they are more and more rapid in their vibration. So that is, again, one of the reasons why I always suggest that we do spiritual exercises which are active, where you actually move your awareness and go to God rather than sitting passively in a more meditative state where you are waiting for God to come to you. That only works in the lower vibrational realms, but in the higher realms of divine spirit, the realms that are beyond the bipolar lower worlds, you have to be very active to move into that coursing stream of light, that coursing stream of sound, the light and sound particles that course through all of creation and give life and vitality and resurrection power to all of life is very dynamic. It's like a river of intense electrons that we need to sink into and flow with. And anyone who is truly filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has this tremendous dynamism, this tremendous vitality and boldness and quickness to all aspects of their being. And this is the ideal, is to be truly Spirit-filled, filled with the Spirit of the living God as living and walking tabernacles, as holy grails. People are seeking the holy grail. But I tell you, beloveds, you are the holy grail. You are the Mary. You are the Divine Mother in whom the Immaculate Conception has taken place. When you quicken that spark of your true self, your divine Atmic identity, that is the Immaculate Conception of the Christ itself that you are, the Anointed One that you are, is then quickened within you, and you become the one that births that holy child. In fact, the word mater comes from the Latin, and it means mother. So whenever you look at matter, you're looking at that which is the receiving receptor of the divine action. In Sanskrit, that material aspect is called prakriti, and the active process is called purusha, or God. Sai Baba has often said that to God, all of creation and all beings are female. There is only one male, and that is God, the purusha, that active force that vivifies the matter of the lower dimensions. Bear in mind, matter is simply condensed fields of light. So you have an ionic field around your body that is basically condensed light, entrapped light, which is being released through the resurrection principle now, through the ascension process, into Ein Sof, limitless light. And so this process of transfiguration and transmutation and ascension and moving into the higher and very intense, vibrant vibrations of the higher worlds is what we are here and activating as we do these weekly intensives, these weekly seminars with the Ashtar Command. So examine, and of course these are processes which you can take into your time when you are quiet and with your journal. But begin to really look at where you're putting your best energy, your most fresh energy, your most active and vital self. Where are you investing yourself in your life? What are you putting your deposits into? And based on where you are putting your attention and your life focus, you can pretty well tell where you're going to end up at the end of the day or at the end of this particular life manifestation cycle that you call an incarnation. So the first word that you speak into the atmosphere is very important. That sets the vibratory tone for your day. The first object that you lay your eyes on sets your the focus resonance for your day. Your first action when you're fresh from the realms of God, which you visit in your soul body at night when you go to sleep, you travel into the inner world, you come back fresh from the divine. Don't rob yourself of the opportunity of bringing forward into your conscious awareness reality. You have touched to the throne of the real. And if you take that time to integrate that awareness before you go leaping forth from bed, I suggest you train yourself by suggesting to yourself that you will awaken at the right time. If your intention is strong, you don't need to be disrupted with an alarm clock. Or if you must depend on an alarm clock, then have soft music awaken you. Because if you jam yourself back into your body with a loud sound, then you lose that connection between those very, very subtle planes and your physical mind. And what you want to do is develop continuity of consciousness so that you don't lose a sense of self as you pass in and out of these dimensions and in and out of the physical and into the higher realms. Then begin to really look at what you are putting most of your investment in terms of your time, your energy, your attention, and your money. Are you aware that in a spiritual a principle that applies in almost every world religion, that the first fruits, the firstborn, the first of everything that you have, the first 10% of your gross income, all of that belongs to God? I bet you many of you didn't know that. And if you're having difficulty financially, guess why? If you observe this principle that first fruits, whatever your first of anything, goes to God, then God takes care of everything else. That's an absolute, unfailable law. And, or let's say principle. It's not so much a law as it's a divine principle. It's a kingdom principle. And second, ask yourself, do I give God first fruits or leftovers? Leftovers is when you wait and see if you have time at the end of the day to give a few moments to thinking about spiritual things and the Lord and studying or whatever. But you find by the time you get home at night, your dog tired. And so you park yourself in front of the Great Oz, that's the TV set, and offer your homage to this idol and doze off as you channel surf. No, that's not going to cut it. If you wait until you're so tired at night that you can't sit and stay awake to meditate, that's not going to cut it. If you wait until your mind is so fatigued to try to do any kind of spiritual study, that's not going to cut it. How could you, if you were training to be an athlete that's going to be competing in the Olympics, how would your life differ if you set that same standard for your spiritual mastery? If every single thing in your life you began to discipline yourself to bring to bear your very, very best, and you begin to eliminate many things in your life that aren't really going to do anything for you when all of that life is completed and you stand once again in the Spirit. So very many things that we get involved with are not going to do anything for us at all. And that's something that we really need to look at if we're at all serious about manifesting our full Christhood at this time. The heart of the house in most indigenous cultures has something to do with the divine. In some cultures, it's a fire pit. In some cultures, like in India, it's the puja or shrine room. In the average Western house, it's none of those things. It's usually the kitchen or the dinette or the living room. And so just by the very way that we have built our homes, we kind of let our universe know what's most important for us. I suggest as a possibility, none of us have to do this, but I have learned a lot of things from my many trips to India that have really worked for me to keep me focused. And one of those things is to have a place prominently in your home that's devoted to your time with God. Let your imagination create a little shrine spot, preferably a room if you have one. But if you don't, put it someplace where you live and spend the most of your time. I like to have a small altar in my bedroom so that the first thing that my eyes fall upon in the morning is a picture of the Lord. And I like to say, "Good morning, Lord," or "I love you," or something really sweet to the beloved when I wake up in the morning. I like to have also a shrine in my living room so that people who come to visit see what's first and foremost in my life. A lot of people hide their spiritual life, but I don't think we're going to be a very good example if we hide our life under a bushel basket and have one face for the world and another face when we're alone and another face when we're in a spiritual so-called environment. That is not being really integrated and being very honest with who and what we are. Who we are is who we are. And in highest truth, all we need to do is to stay centered in our reality and to be one who responds honestly and from our heart. If you remember that your body is light and that you are immortal, and you learn to love every being so intensely that you are aware of only one, no matter who you look at, it is always that one, the one beloved, the only begotten, then you will begin to live your life in such a sensitive way as you move about these living temples of the Lord that you call people, that you call yourself. When you look in the mirror, remind yourself you are looking at the uniquely begotten Son of God. I say again, Son, because we're talking about something that is proactive, not passive. We are proactive light, celestial emissaries on earth assignment. We are representing the highest divine throne worlds. And so, as we begin to look at our lives, begin to fine-tune, and fine-hone the skill of prioritizing the divine in every way we can, another thing that we begin to prioritize is the first day of the week, the first of the month, the first of the year. All of these firsts, again, are days of dedication to the Lord. Now, with each various world faith, you have a little different day, so the day doesn't matter. The important thing is that you launch forth in the first cycle with a dedication to the Lord. Again, in India, it's so sweet because when anyone has a piece of land or a new tool or anything, it can be anything at all that they've just bought, whether it's a car or a plow or an ox, whatever, and they will dedicate that to the Lord. And they'll have this special puja of blessing for that object, so that the object, even if it's just a plow or a spade or a hammer, is used for the Lord. How wonderful it would be if we would adopt some of these habits, some of these perspectives. It would make our life so heavenly if everything that we did, we spent in conscious union with the Lord and with the divine. That's really the only meaning of yoga, the word yoga, or the Western word atonement means just that. It's coming in to awareness of the One. And so these are little keys and little tools that we can use until we train ourselves to stay focused in God consciousness at all times. And you will know you're in God consciousness when all you're conscious of is God. And again, God is love. So the more that we begin to return our awareness and choose the loving, choose the awareness of the divine, choose to bypass the things that are illusory and temporary and transitory and all of that, the more we will find that we are walking in that divine yogic state of samadhi. Samadhi means simply equal-mindedness. Sama is sameness. Buddhi is awareness. So that oneness and sameness that we accord to all things when we see everything is only the divine in its many, many different roles and disguises, it still is but the One, and we are that One. So one of the real differences from where we come from in the divine throne world is that we have come into a world that's trying to be democratic or socialistic or some other ideological patterning. But in truth, all of the celestial worlds are governed as divine thrones of administration. They are realms of principalities and rulers and magistrates and kings and overseers of the divine kingdom. And actually, we in the West have very little knowledge of what it is to live in a kingdom. I remember, oh gosh, maybe back in the 70s, I made one of my many trips to the ashram of Satya Sai Baba, the cosmic avatar. And I remember as we came, maybe 25 miles from the ashram, which is a huge international educational complex. And anyway, as I neared the ashram in the taxi I was riding in, there was this huge archway that we went under, and it said, the Kingdom of Satya Sai. And I thought, wow, a kingdom. You know, you don't often think of kings, at least I didn't, coming as a very ignorant person from America, never having gone to see a guru of any kind, having no knowledge of any of these sort of things. And here is the Kingdom of Satya Sai. Whoa! So I get assigned a room, and one of my roommates is a Greek socialite, one of the jet setters. And I noticed every morning she would put on this elaborate makeup, and she'd do her nails, and she'd wear these really beautiful silken saris, and did her hair really nicely. And she tended to come at the very last moment because it took her so long to get dressed and get ready. Me, man, I just put on this cotton sari, which I found out is the kind that the street sweepers and the toilet cleaners use. So cotton, orange sari. And I had my Rudraksha beads around my neck, and I had my forehead smeared with ash, and my hair slicked back in a ponytail, and no makeup. I figured, well, if Sai Baba's God, he knows what I look like, and I just wanted to go and do my spiritual practice. And I was judging this other socialite somewhat, thinking she was somewhat vain. Boy, was I wrong. One day I asked her, I said, why are you putting on all this makeup and everything? This is an ashram. And she said, my dear, this is a kingdom, and I am going before the king. And I wouldn't think of going before the king in anything less than my best. And I thought, whoa, I stand chastised and corrected. So from that day on, I too got up, put on my makeup, got some really beautiful saris, did my nails, and went to darshan looking the very best that I could possibly look. Darshan, by the way, is where you sit in this huge group of thousands of people, and Sai Baba walks out amongst the people and gives his blessings, which is darshan. Darshan means to see and be in the direct presence of a holy being. So anyway, at one point, Sai Baba stopped in front of the Westerners, and I was sitting with the Western women because the men and the women sit in different places. And he pointed to us, and happened to be one of the people sitting in front, and he pointed to us, and he said to the Indians that were sitting on either side, he said, look at how beautifully the Western ladies dress. They're coming just as if they were going to see a king. I thought, boy, is that confirmation. So, again, we are moving amongst royalty at this time on this earth with the externalization of the hierarchy of masters, both celestial and planetary. We are rubbing shoulders every day with the cream of the crop, with the elite of heaven. And we don't often realize that. You know, the old saying, be careful, you know, with strangers that come to your house because you may be entertaining angels unaware. And I find that is so true, that in some of the most humble of places, you will find the most exalted souls. That certainly is true in India, where sometimes the King of Heaven will be sitting like a beggar. Like, well, there were many, many that I would consider royalty that were sitting very, very humbly without any fanfare or any hoop-de-doo, and you knew that you were sitting in the presence of a very, very high soul. So the scriptures describe us also as a peculiar people, a royal nation, and a priest and a king. Yeah, priest, priestess, king, queen. And that is the light worker, who is a true bearer of light, someone who truly is the light of the world, goes forth as a kingdom ambassador. See, originally, when Jesus the Christ came from the very, very highest divine throne world, he came to reestablish our kingdom authority and our kingdom connection and our direct access to the highest throne worlds of God. Because we lost that access when the world, the planet, fell under the domain of the reptilians, the Luciferians, and the fallen angels. And Adam and Eve slipped into that agenda and fell from direct access. And a parallel universe was allowed to unfold from that choice. And that's what's called the world of samsara, or illusion, or, as the Course in Miracles calls it, the ego's nightmare. In highest truth, we as spirit beings have never left the heart of God. But in time and space, the soul projection has become lost in this labyrinth, which has only been restored through the grace of the office of the Christ, sending Jesus, Yeshua, as the Messiah to reconnect us with the divine throne world. He became the bridge and the way back to the truth and oneness with the Father. The Father meaning the magistrate, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that is the actual God form over creation in the highest positive realms of spirit. So therefore, we come as ambassadors. Now, I don't know if you are aware of it, but when a person is an ambassador, that is the most important position you can have with regards to a nation, because you literally represent a nation when you're an ambassador. Now, you can mess with just about anyone else, but God help you if you touch an ambassador of someone's nation. You come against the whole nation. So therefore, ambassadors, when they're chosen for that position, all of their responsibilities are assumed by that nation, which means all of their living expenses are covered, their travel expenses, their children's education. Everything is handled so they don't have to be bothered with it. so they don't have to be concerned. Now think of it this way. If you are an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, you are a walking kingdom, a walking nation. And all of your necessities are taken care of by who? The king. A king, you see, he is born. He's not elected, or she's not elected, if it's a queen. But they are born. Remember when Jesus Emmanuel was born, it said, "For unto us a king is given." A king is born. Unto us a son is given. So the king was born, and the Son of God, the administrative hand of the Father, which is to say the Father embodied as the Son, which is you and me and everyone, but Jesus set the template, let's say, came to restore our kingdom status, because originally earth was to be a colony, a colonization of the divine throne world. And it's being restored now to that function. So therefore, when the apostles around Jesus were concerned about what they were going to eat, what they were going to wear, and little things that had to do with their material well-being, Jesus said, "Don't you know that your Father, the one who sent you, knows exactly what you need and will take care of you? Why worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear? Look at the lilies of the field. Aren't they clothed more beautifully than King Solomon? Look at the birds. Don't they have their needs met?" And you know that beautiful passage in Matthew that refers to that. And he said, "Seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and then all else will be added to you." So as we fulfill our divine call as a kingdom ambassador, everything else is supplied that we need. And I can tell you from my own experience of many, many years of living in this way, it's 100% true. I have never, ever gone without what I needed. I've always had my needs met. My only duty was to do my dharma, my duty, to fulfill the task set before me. And so our duty, our dharma, is to be a kingdom ambassador, a priest, priestess, a king, queen, and to represent these divine throne worlds in time and space. Your heart, beloved, is the kingdom of God. God dwells in your heart. That's his throne world. As God becomes the sovereign Lord of your life and rules from the kingdom throne world of your heart, you'll find that the whole world around you shifts and changes and becomes kingdom domain, so much so that you possess the land wherever your foot falls. You have established the kingdom of God wherever your holy feet touch the ground. You have claimed that for the kingdom. The more you're aware of it, needless to say, the more powerful you are. Awareness is so important of who you are, where you've come from, what you're here to do, how to accomplish your job, and where you're returning. And again, it's a journey without distance to a destination which in highest truth you've never left. The only thing that has departed has been your awareness. And as you choose to return your awareness back to who and what you are eternally and forever, you'll find that you've never, in highest truth, left the heart of God. In fact, you are the very heart of God. And so these are things that I like to remind us each week from a slightly different angle, a slightly different approach, because this is something that you don't often have anyone talk to you about. And this is a show specifically for kingdom ambassadors, for those Christed ones who have incarnated to reestablish the divine kingdom upon earth, those of us who, this is what we're here for. And when we hear these kind of talks, it gives us joy because it confirms what we already have known deep within our heart, deep within our innermost being. One of my wonderful mentors was the son of the great Nicholas and Helena Rorick, who were both adepts from the Great White Brotherhood. And his name was Dr. Svetoslav Rorick. He was one of the two sons of Dr. or Professor and Madame Rorick. And I came to him as a very young girl on my first trips to India. He and his family had immigrated from Russia during the Bolshevik Revolution and had taken residency in India. And so I spent a great deal of time visiting with him whenever I would come to see Sai Baba, and I'd usually stay for at least 4 months at a time. So that meant I had a lot of personal one-on-one time with Dr. Rorick. And I used to ask him, I said, how can I really be used by the Great White Brotherhood? How can I really, you know, make this life? Basically, I was asking, how can I be the best I can be? And he told me, he said, do this. He said, every day, no matter what you're doing, whether you're combing your hair or putting on your sari or whatever it is you're doing, try to make it better than the day before. Try to increase the perfection and the excellence of your life in every area, every day. And he said, never look outside of yourself for that which you can only find within yourself. Well, I don't know that I understood too much what he was talking about at the time, but, you know, when these teachers work with you, you kind of grow into whatever it is that they tell you, and it's a, you know, somewhat of a gradual process, but you begin to ruminate on it, you begin to think about it, and apply it to your life, and that's what you have to do. But I always remembered that because his life was such an example. And like his great father, Nicholas Rorick, he was a superb artist, maybe even as great and maybe even better because he was more versatile than his father. And also like his father, his work was very prophetic. He would have visions. And one day his wonderful wife, who was the first lady of Indian screen, Devika Rani, came to the ashram to see Sai Baba. And she told me this story, so I will share it with you. And Sai Baba said to her, Devika Rani, why have you come to me when the light itself dwells in your home? And then Sai Baba said to Devika Rani, he said, tell your husband, Svetoslav, that I will come to see him. So sure enough, Sai Baba came to Tatguni Estate, which is a beautiful estate that they have in the city of Bangalore, outside of Bangalore. And they had a showing of all Svetoslav's paintings and those of his father as well that he had there. And Sai Baba pointed out the divine throne worlds that Svetoslav was seeing as he was painting. And he told Devika Rani, he said, you know, your husband has seen the very, very highest realms of God, because no one could paint like that who hasn't been there and seen these things in person. And so, again, the more we can aspire to the highest, the more we can keep pushing the envelope of where we think we end to that which is next, the more we will find that we have access to more creativity, more scope in our writing, in our painting, in our composing of music, in our writing of screenplays, in whatever it is we do, in our cooking, in our raising our children, in our going to our jobs, whatever occupation, every little thing matters. Every little tiny thing in your life has eternal significance if you do it with kingdom awareness, bring to bear your very, very best, the best you can, pushing through that tendency to laziness, inertia, distraction, lack of discipline, and sloppiness. We bring ourselves forward each day, even though it's not easy. Nothing that is going to make you a master is going to seem easy at first, because you're going to be bucking the slothfulness and the tendency to kick back and just waste time that is so prevalent in the average lifestyle. We do not have the leisure to, or the luxury for having self-indulgence in the form of negativity or forgetting what we're about here. We need to really be like little soldiers, true spiritual warriors, in calling ourselves forward in service to the planet at this time. As we go into these really, really rarefied vibrations that are ushering us into a new version of the Earth, we are going to be sort of hitting the tarmac running. Many of our young children are already in stride. They're already calibrated for this sprint, as it were, into the kingdom domain that the Earth is moving into. Our children have a ministry called the Ministry of the Children, and it is to lead us beyond where we have gotten bogged down in the 3D and in limitation and lack, and most of all, the lack of vision. They are the vision carriers who will again ignite our vision so that we can together walk into the new era. It's an exciting time. It's a time when the best from all worlds has come to Earth to be of service. Look in the mirror and know that you're the best. That's why you're here. And be excited about your life. And if you're not excited, go get some excitement. Go stir your pot. Stir yourself up. You have to keep yourself psyched up and stirred up. Otherwise, you just fall back into the old stagnant status quo. And that's not the way to go. So, getting to the close of our show pretty soon. And I wanted to share with you a really beautiful thought from A Course in Miracles, something that I like to do about every so many years, to study the Course in Miracles. It's a very, very excellent book for understanding who you really are and moving into harmony with the fifth and higher dimensions that we're moving into. And this is from the Course. Once you accept His plan as the one function that you would fulfill, there will be nothing else the Holy Spirit will not arrange for you without your effort. He will go before you, making straight your path and leaving in your way no stones to trip on, no obstacles to bar your way. Nothing you need will be denied you, not one seeming difficulty, but will melt away before you reach it. You need take thought for nothing, careless of everything except the only purpose that you would fulfill. So that only purpose is what we're here to fulfill. It is to usher in a world that is characterized by loving, goodwill, benevolent action, and that deep peace that comes when you do truly prioritize God and give the divine your very, very best and your first and your topmost priority. Let the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords rule and reign from the very center of your heart, the center of your brain, the center of your life, the center of your focus. And all else will come of that promise you, and so does the testimony of countless other people who have done that. As I like to do each time, I like to give us a spiritual exercise that we can do. So just lift in your awareness to when you stood before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And a royal crown was placed upon your heads, and a scroll was placed into your hands, and a cape was placed about your shoulders. The crown represents that authority of wisdom that you carry from the inner realms to earth, even though it's not visible in the material world. It is visible in spirit. The cape represents the anointing, the mantle of your commission that you have been called to fulfill. And the scroll is that agreement that you have vowed upon the inner planes before embodiment. It is for you to decide what it is and to discern what it is and to recall what it is. We all know. We all have an inner knower that is completely all-knowing. So therefore, as you move your inner awareness back into the part that is never forgotten, that knows all things, that is everywhere present, that has all power, just like God, you're made in the image and likeness of God. So what's true of God is true of you, just in a little pared-down version, little mini version, but nevertheless equally so. So as you feel your crown and be aware of your cape, be aware of the scroll that you have in your hand. Be aware also of the scepter that has been put into your hand to direct that energy, to quicken and activate and bestow and extend that energy into the world. That's why you always see the archangels with some sort of an instrument, or the wizards, they all have their wand, or even the musical conductor has his baton. And so we all have that which directs the flow of our energy in spirit. And as you administer the sacred ordinances of God, do so from your heart, and you will always be operating from the throne of the Most High. There is nothing more important than love. There is nothing that you need to be more mindful of than the loving. And there is no gain whatsoever in anything less than loving expression. In fact, you'll find that when you're not wholly loving, you're not joyful. You have a sense of dispiritedness that comes. And when that comes upon you, or that depression, or that darkness, look and see if you've acted unlovingly to one of God's creations. And then forgive yourself and re-speak your love into that person or that situation, and watch how your joy returns. So as we move as kingdom ambassadors, we are indeed purveyors of love and light and joy, hope and upliftment wherever we go. There's a beautiful prayer from, actually it's a mantra called the Mantra of the Disciple. It's from the Master Joel Cole and from the Arcane School, which I used to be a student many years ago. And it goes like this. I am a point of light within a greater light. I am a strand of loving energy within the stream of love divine. I am a spark of sacrificial fire focused within the fiery will of God. And thus I stand. I am a way by which men may achieve. I am a source of strength enabling them to stand. I am a beam of light shining upon their way. and thus I stand. And standing thus revolve, and tread this way the ways of men, and know the ways of God, and thus I stand. So, beloveds, we are always a point of light within a greater light. We are all in Christ, hidden in God. We live and move and have our being within God. We are within God, and God is within us. There is a kingdom of heaven within and a kingdom of God without. So as we go deeper and deeper into this wonderful adventure of moving our spiritual inner awareness back to the home that we in highest truth never left, we find that we are truly kingdom dwellers and kingdom representatives. And that's what we're here to be and do. Let's see, what can we do for a chant tonight? Let's do, my voice will cooperate here. Let's do Sri Ram, J Ram, JJ Ram. Oh, this is a bhajan. Sri Ram, J Ram, JJ Ram. 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 The name Rama is a very good mantra for calming the mind and bringing in positive energy. If you ever feel like you're under attack or have negative vibrations around you, chant the name of Rama. It brings in a very, very high frequency, and it is the mantra that balances the male and the female, the solar and the lunar energies in the body, and it is a name for God. So, God bless each and every one of you. I'm always so happy to spend our hour together. And until next week, Baruch Hashem Adonai, and God evening to all.